It feels like 2 weeks has gone by.
Dude, where's the
I know.
time went?
Oh, look
We're
at
getting a shit
mine.
ton of content, though, man. That's for
I
sure.
know it's gonna be awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, man. Nice. See the Spinal Tap shirt. That's cool.
Yes.
Yeller. So cool.
Yes, I'm very excited. I got this from King Fowley.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he does t-shirts.
That's cool.
Yeah, you just tell him the size you want and he'll do it. I'm like, that's cool.
Oh,
Ah, this is
this
going to be
one's
a
gonna
fun
be,
one too. I think it's going
yeah.
to be a, I mean, I'm playing a little faster and looser with big hair bands than you probably are, because you have a lot
Yeah.
more experience with the genre.
Well, at the time, I mean, my gosh, I'm pre-teens, early teens. I mean, this was the thing,
Yeah.
and it's before I really got a discovery of, Megadeth or Metallica, or even I'll say Merciful Fate and stuff, or the harder edge bands. So let me branch out more in the genres. You go from Kiss, you go UFO and all that stuff, to Rolling Stones and maybe some Blue Oyster Cult to, oh gosh, now you're into Motley Crue early on, or what the hell's this, or Rat, or so some big things that like, oh, this is a different sound. And not all hair metal bands are created equal, I don't think. There's some I left off the list. I just say, to me, it didn't fit the mold. To me, they were
Okay.
more like a blues, hard rock, guitar
Okay.
driven band, as opposed to a classic, the Aquanet and the hair all over the place kind of band and stuff. So,
All right. Well, this is going to be fun.
yeah.
I'm excited. This was,
Might have some contention in this one.
that's right. This is your showcase, your idea. So if the show sucks, it's on you.
There's no winner except what I say is right.
That's right. And welcome to Chop Chop Land.
It's my own little world. I can do what I want with it.
That's right.
I'm
That's
fucking
right.
injured for 3 months. Leave me alone. I'm gonna
That's
do it. Get a good headspace here.
right. See my hat? Can you tell who's on the hat?
Oh, hell yeah.
Giant Robo.
Yeah, giant robo man.
Yes. And
Oh,
here's the full glory of the shirt. Spinal
damn it.
Tag,
Shucks.
sharks,
Shit.
sandwich tumor.
That
Yes.
was, hey, last time I
Stone.
was over, didn't we watch Spinal Tap? We watched that high too, didn't we? And Kiss Meets the Phantom. We did both those, I think.
We might have very
Yeah.
well.
Because you're
Yeah,
like, you never seen Spinal Tap? I go, no. He goes, oh, we are doing that. I'm like, okay.
but
Hello, Cleveland.
oh yeah, Tap is great. I saw them on the Break Like the Wind tour. It was awesome. That was great. And then I saw it was just Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer as themselves. Like, and they played songs from all their movies, Spinal Tap and the Folksmen did songs, from Mighty Wind and that, yeah, that was just fun. And then they answered did like QA and things like that between songs, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Stuff later.
all right, are we ready to get this going?
Yeah, do we want to do the same setup again at 10 and 9, or just one at a
Sure.
time?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Just don't jump ahead. Like,
I
no,
won't. I won't
sorry.
get so excited. I don't want to blow my wad
That's
all
right.
one thing.
Oh, big hair band. Oh,
Oh,
that's
boy,
right. Oh, it's not
stop.
Aquanet I smell. Oh. All right, man. Yeah, we'll do that. Sounds good, buddy.
This is Promethium.
You asked him to?
Heavy metal podcast, horror podcast. I'm fucking out. This is
Click
Promethium.
like.
Heavy metal horror podcast. Fucking get in.
Click like and subscribe.
Ohio. Greatest hits.
Hydroplex. Hydroplex.
Click like and subscribe.
I am Montag, master of illusion. What goes up must come down, but not always.
Hey, this is Chop Topic. Can you smell the Aquanet? It's time for the top 10 hair metal bands. Give it up, baby.
I couldn't get my breath. And you are watching and listening to, I forgot how to breathe. Heavy
Gotta be
metal
metal.
Horror.
Spring.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can smell the hairspray. Yes, this show is called Can You Smell the Aquanet? Our top 10 big hair bands. And Chop Top came up with the idea. Let's do a top 10 glam bands or big hair bands. I'm like, all right.
I knew I was going to challenge you, Montag.
That's so right. It's
you,
not.
You love this genre. It's very dear to your heart, especially the ballad.
So. It's not really my genre. You know, if Dreadbull were here, he would probably be a lot more versed, so, because he was, he really liked a lot of those bands, the big hair bands. He was into all the stuff,
Sure.
But, he has no taste, obviously. So,
yeah, he decided not to be on the show anymore. So
I know.
Right, come on, Dre.
Well,
we love you anyway.
We love you. All right. So, Chop, take it away. Number 10 and 9 for you.
Sure. Number 10 and 9. 10 might be a surprise, but I put it on here because I had the one album was, I listened to the hell out of it, and it was by Twisted Sister. That album was Stay Hungry. But the highlights, I'd have to say, as far as their albums, album highlights, Under the Blade, You Can't Kill Rock and Roll, and Stay Hungry. Those three, they're pretty heavy, actually, especially Under the Blade and You Can't Kill Rock and Roll. The guitar sounds and everything in there are just phenomenal. These are very powerful, unique vocal stylings. Song highlights, I go back as far as They Shoot 'Em Down, Under the Blade, Can't Kill Rock and Roll, The Beast, and Burn in Hell. This is a band that was formed in 72. But I believe it took all the way up to like 82 to make the Under the Blade album when they were finally make their debut. But I know they first came around, they were huge on the live circuit.
MTV blew them up. That's where they really got the big fan base because of their videos, which were awesome.
Oh yeah,
I Want to Rock That, All Rebellion, and then the recreating scenes from Animal House.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's when they really started the glammed out look. Was on Stay Hungry, because before that they were down in like the jeans, jean vests, regular, jean pants, all this kind of leather look and all that. They really didn't start until, like you said, the MTV started heavy rotation. Maybe it was a change in the record. Hey, because they were on Atlantic, all those albums. And maybe Atlantic said, hey, we need a bigger hit here. We're going to change up your look a little bit. But still, there's some great stuff and hard stuff on there too. Burn in Hell, Captain Howdy, The Beast. Man, and then there's a beautiful ballad on, I know, Montag, one of your favorites, The Price, Stay Hungry, but it was in high, heavy MTV rotation for a while, and one of their best songs. So that was number 10.
I think the only hard rock ballad I really, really, really like was it Screaming in the Night, I Died for You? What was that? What's that band?
Oh, Screaming in the Night? That's Crocus.
Crocus, yeah. Boy, that's a... I mean, it's not a true ballad.
You might hear about that band later just, on my list.
I see. My apologies for blowing your wad.
I was kind of hesitant about putting this band on here because, I don't know, I shouldn't have been, because I was a fan when this, Pyromania came out. Def Leppard, they're formed in 77. Yeah. They're considered part of new wave of British heavy metal.
Right.
Argumentative, some people. It doesn't sound like any of the other bands in that
era.
No,
it's a lot poppier. I mean, it was intentional to go for the rock sound rather than metal sound, like Iron Maiden and those other harder rock bands. They went for a softer, hard rock sound because they were intent. I mean, why? There's a part of being in a band that's just joy to be in a band. But if your goal is to become successful and make money, then you got to do that. And that was what it was. It seemed to be decision to see, let's make music that's a lot more accessible to a lot more people. And they did it. It was hard rock for like people who like AC/DC, but who don't like Slayer, like AC/DC is as hard as they get, like that's metal to them. Like, well, that's fine. Great. So,
but this band that was, they were formed in 77. Album highlights. The only three you really need to have in your collection by this band is On Through the Night, High and Dry, and Pyromania. You can keep fucking Hysteria and the rest of that garbage off your list. The song highlights, Bringing On the Heartbreak, Fooling, Rock Brigade, High and Dry, Coming Under Fire, Rock of Ages. I mean, you can't go wrong with it. And you can't ignore their influence. You can't ignore how big they were and how big they made it. Yeah. But yeah, they lost me when Hysteria hit. I was just like,
that was like that was so mega big. That was just like the Black Album, For me, they jumped the shark. They glammed it out. And like everybody in college, like every fucking buddy in the world played Hysteria. It was like the Hockey Players was their favorite album, and they loved Pour Some Sugar on Me, and they would blast it over and over. And that's one of the reasons why I hate the song so much. It's
recently I read they're touring in India doing these bunch of dates, and they said how they kind of, you know, Joe Elliott still sounds good, and of course they had got the crowd really going to Pour Some Sugar. I'm like, oh my god, it's like
it
is what it is. They like
it's like
they
like Macarena, like, you know,
but it's a
I don't ever
want
to fucking dance to it, but good for them.
I don't want to go on my rant again. I already did my sore thumbs on this fucking band. I ain't gonna do it again.
We all put it on our list of songs we never have to hear. I remember that. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. That's it's just like every time I hear Crazy Train, I'm like, oh fuck. Yeah, come on.
Exactly. Love you, but so much.
Yeah,
more
yeah. It's just overkill. Okay. Well, my top 10, mostly because I honestly didn't remember bands having albums by many of these bands. Some. But I'm like loosening the expectations of big hair to like bands that I know that have some guys with big hair or this style. So it'll all fit some way or another. My number 10 is Nitro. I saw Nitro with my friend Brady, and we saw him down at Peabody's, I think. Freight train coming with Michelangelo and his four neck guitar.
Jim Gillette on vocals, I believe. Yeah.
I don't know who. Yeah. Jim Gillette. Who had the biggest hair in the world and did the Axl Rose like snake dance.
Ridiculous.
But the only two songs I remember are Freight Train and Long Way From Home. So this is like my memory, like, yeah, that'll fit. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, I have to pick 10. Oh my God. Fit
you
something.
Did see
in.
Them li- you did see them live.
I did. I saw them live. Yeah. With Brady.
That had been hilarious.
That was fine. It was just, you know, Mike watching him shred. It was just like, God damn it, man. It was just so fast. One problem is like it was so fast it became a blur, and like that's great. But I would rather much hear a passionate solo, like something that, like Adrian Smith, Power Slave. That solo he plays on Power Slave. That I would rather have that like than a million notes a second. You know, great that you can play that fast, but it doesn't help. You know, but that was the 80s or
that was
it came out late 80s. You know, that was the thing. You know, over the top and glam. So.
Well, Nitro. It was Yngwie Malmsteen also, and Kristen Pelletieri, and all the Shredders. So.
Right. My number 9 is Cinderella. I know only 3 songs from them, but they make it because they wore spandex and they had big hair. Somebody Save Me from the album Long Cold Winter, which I think is a really good album.
Actually, no, that's from Somebody Save Me is from Night Songs, the debut.
Oh. Was it Gypsy Road was on?
Yes, that's what you're thinking.
Okay.
Excellent album.
And Nobody's Fool. Yeah. But the Long Cold Winter is a really good album. But Somebody Save Me is I think my favorite track of theirs. But
good choice.
I have never seen Cinderella. I have no desire to, but I know those 3 songs. Anyway.
Well, I know one of those bands might be coming up later too.
Here's my surprise face. I'm not high, but not that high. Not expect that.
Here's my number 8. A band you already mentioned about earlier, a song you like, Crocus. Formed in 75. Album highlights, Headhunter, The Blitz, Change of Address. Songs I recommend, Screaming in the Night, Ready to Burn, which they did with Rob Halford from Priest, which is killer track off Headhunter. Midnight Maniac, Our Love, Rock the Nation, Burning Up the Night. So I used to have The Blitz on cassette, Change of Address on cassette. Then I lost touch with the band. You know, I knew of Headhunter, but I just never owned a copy physical of it.
Yeah.
But, they were pretty big. I remember the time Headhunter came out, Screaming the Night came out, was huge, pretty big. They were opening up arenas. Accept was big at that time. Accept were headline arenas, so they were doing opening acts for that. And I think they opened maybe for Priest as well at times. But
I saw their videos. They would come on like Headbangers Ball and stuff, and that's where I first came across them. Screaming in the Night video. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I like this band. I like it a lot.
Well, great song. Interesting thing, you know, when they had all that, Brian Johnson took that leave of absence in AC/DC some years ago, and Axl Rose filled the void. Mark Starace, the singer for Crocus, actually. He's going to audition. He's going to try out. He's going to be singer for ACD. And I'm thinking his vocals would have far much more appropriate and better the AC/DC's music than Axl Rose. You listen to Axl's live stuff, it's like, hey.
Oh, he's a terrible singer, and he's a worse person, like musician. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about the fans. It's a big ego. He's always late or doesn't show up, throws a tantrum. He just needs to have his punk ass beat down. That's all.
Exactly,
you're a
bro.
Bitch. You're a whiny little bitch, Axl Rose.
You made your career off one album. Okay.
And it's a good album. I'm not going to argue that. That's a really good album, but you got to like get over yourself, man. You know? Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, my number seven, another band. I did get to see these guys live. Helix, formed in 74 out of Canada. Album highlights, Walking to Razor's Edge, Long Way to Heaven, Wild in the Streets, and Back for Another Taste. Songs I'd recommend, Rock You, When a Hammer Falls, Kids Are All Shaken, Deep Cuts the Knife, awesome ballad. Know you love those. Wild in the Streets, That's Life, Breakdown, and Back for Another Taste. So, yeah, this band means a lot to me because when I first saw the video, it might have been on Friday night, but it was not on MTV. It was for Rock You, a song from Walking to Razor's Edge. And that was probably their biggest hit, arguably, in their history of the band. But they kind of blew up all over the place with that. But, they had a great vocalist, Brian Vollmer. And I know that I got to see them live right across the Ohio, Michigan line with a friend of mine. And that was very memorable on the Wild in the Streets tour. And it was a small club, maybe 150, 200 persons theater, but very memorable show. A lot of fun. Got to play pool, the bass player, drummer, my friend at the time. You know, got a copy of the set list.
That's
got a couple
autographs.
Yeah, I mean, 16, what a 16 night. 17 at the time. I'm like,
what a night. Do you? How would you ever expect to have a night like that, you know?
Yeah. And then you're right up by the stage, you know? So you're like,
right.
It's good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like when we hung out with Valdemar Sarcho before the grip.
Oh, it was still awesome.
Yeah. So that was, and,
I just think, you know, I think they kind of went under the radar. I think it's just the taste of the time. Maybe some inconsistent album, track listing placements, things like that.
Like, I know the name, but I don't recall any of the songs you listed. It's like,
But you ain't going to look them up anyways, even after this. So it doesn't matter. I hate the fucking era. This is your idea, Chop.
No, I don't hate the era, but I struggle with it. You know? I struggle with it. It's but I was a sucker for all these like bands that came out on MTV. Because when I was a teenager, that's what I wanted to do. I mean, it was a combination of watching too many Little Rascals episodes, thinking I could put on a big show like that. And I'm like seeing pictures of Gene Simmons with blood all over. I'm like, oh fuck, that's what I want to do.
Hey, come on, man. You got to play live, dude. Escape Beetle Pig.
That's true. We did get to play live. I did get to spit blood as my imitation. It was my homage to Gene Simmons. And wiggle my tongue. yes, and Charlotte's Web and PFE. I had a good time. But that's what I wanted to do. I was living out those fantasies, you know?
Yeah. So that was 8 and 7 for me, though.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. My number 8 is one that you already mentioned. This is Twisted Sister. And I don't know all the albums. I just know the songs. Like We're Not Gonna Take It, I Want to Rock, Destroyer, Under the Blade, Burn in Hell. You mentioned some of those before. Those are all great songs, especially Burn in Hell. It's so funny. You know, it's just like, what a great track. But, you know, my dad liked watching Twisted Sister videos. Okay.
Really?
Because they did the references to Animal House.
Oh, sure. Yep.
But then, Niemeyer
was in it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And he just thought, he just thought the idea was like, I want to rock. It was something catchy. He liked catchy music. But I also caught him watching like Motley Crue by himself.
Oh, I remember.
Like,
Looks
That Kill. That's right. I caught you. I like that name, Motley Crue. It's okay, Dad. You could be a metalhead. That's right. Unleash the Beast.
We like the name too. That's why we watch it. Awesome.
That's right. Unleashing the Beast ever since I was 12. Where's my sock? Well, speaking of all that sex talk leads up to number 7, or maybe it should be 777. This band is Stryper. Big Hair for Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
They wore the spandex, the black and the yellow. You know, and I being forced to listen to Christian only music when I was a teenager, that's just what I listened to because it was like the old closest thing to like hard rock or metal, you know, that I could listen to, like, you know, and they got all kinds of flack for the way they looked, you know. And but I really liked the band in the back in the day. I don't listen to them now. I just can't listen to their music. I'm fully deconstructed. But I do like the song "Loud and Clear." Was a great song. I mean, they were, you know, catchy riffs. They're catchy.
Yeah.
Soldiers under the under command. Tell the devil more than a man, which is a really good ripper. So yeah, they had some good songs. I've not listened to their last, you know, albums in the last decade or so. I have no idea what they sound like, but those early
albums, to that original style. But you know, Michael Sweet still sounds stellar. I mean, vocally and stuff. And you know, Os Fox still brings, as far as the guitar work and stuff, riffing. I thought he had some really nice riffs written with Michael along the way. So I think it's a really good choice though, because they did. I think they got a lot of flack for stuff and stuff. But what's interesting is when they had that tour in the mid to late '80s, it was with King Diamond. Yeah, Stryper toured with King Diamond.
Oh, really?
Talk about an odd pairing. Yeah, it's like a heaven and hell kind of thing tour.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, one band, you know. Throwing Bibles out the audience and preaching the gospel. You got another guy who's saying, "Bah, I got Satan's heart." No, like, you know, drinking blood out of a goat's head or something.
Oh, anyway, that's great.
No, I mean, what an irony, right? To have them too. But the interesting thing is going back to old interviews and I read of them and stuff, and there was no animosity between either group.
Well, I don't think there would have been. I mean, they're musicians first and foremost, and they both probably saw the commercial aspect of the tour. Like, well, this is going to be a great tour. Because people are going to come to see Stryper who are going to get exposed to Merciful Fate. Like, oh, that's pretty good music. And people who come to see Merciful Fate are going to get exposed to Stryper and go, you know, that's pretty good music. So, and just the heaven and hell aspect, it's like too juicy to not go to, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
I would have seen that if I would have known.
Of course. Yeah,
I would have loved it. Like, I want to see this irony. I want to see how this plays out. This is interesting.
Oh, I'm sure they got along fine. I mean, you know,
yeah,
it's like... No, they're just people. They're not, you know, no one's shoving beliefs down the other's throat, and
right.
And they're both probably very respectful of keeping the boundaries.
Yeah, they're not but good things to say about each other.
That's
so
great. I love that. I mean,
me too.
We're all just people, man.
Right on, brother. Good choice.
All right. So that was all your right. number. That was your number.
Well, that five? Was your number seven. So now I'm going to go on with six.
Oh, right,
and
right,
five.
Right. Okay.
Yep. Okay. So to my number six, Great White, formed in 77. Album highlights, Shot in the Dark, Once Bitten, and then their album Twice Shy. Songs I'd recommend, Face the Day, which is a Spooky Tooth cover, actually, but a fucking killer jam of a track off Shot in the Dark. Shot in the Dark, the title track, Lady Red Light, Rock Me, Once Bitten, Twice Shy, Ian Hunter cover, and House of Broken Love, which is just a ballad that just fucking sends me, man. Lyrically, musically, Mark Kendall, one of the most underrated fucking guitar players in hard rock. Slash metal. Jack Russell, God rest his soul. He was one of the voices that made that band, along with Kendall's guitar work. The one thing that I think, you know, really kind of hurt their career, obviously, and, you know, so unfortunate, the 100 lives that were lost in that Rhode Island fire, Great White played, and that kind of, their trajectory. I mean, they weren't selling like they used to before all that in the albums, because that era of music had passed. People had moved on, the grunge and alternative movement, and people going to heavier genres of metal as well, right. And stuff. But
yeah, I've seen them back. They're like on like those bills where you see like three or four kind of those 90s, it was 80s bands, you know, to kind of touring together. There's a lot of those packages going around. So
I guess they got a vocalist right now. It's supposed to be some new Great White in 2020. Well, this year, I guess, I think. It's new music, but they got a vocalist that can handle all the old stuff, Jack Russell stuff, and he's very powerful too, so I'm hearing good things. Be interesting, just a nostalgia thing to hear, but would I go out and have to, I gotta have it kind of thing anymore now, because I was a huge fan back in the day. I had those tapes, you know, I had that stuff, jamming a great night, because there was more of a hard edge blues kind of thing to their playing, as opposed to just all the hair. Again, I kind of struggled with Great White a little bit. Yes, they were glamorized from MTV, all the videos, Rock Me, Save Your Love, you know, all this shit, House of Broken Love, Once Bitten, Twice Shy. And it was just in that pocket, you know, it was with drummed in with the rest of them. But when you go down to brass tacks, this band was more of just a hard rock, blues, bass guitar band, so, as opposed to pure hair metal. So that was my number six.
I think we can define it any way we want to, man. You know? Yeah.
Now, my number five, a band you already mentioned, Cinderella. They were formed in 83. Album highlights Night Songs, which is a fucking killer album. Long Cold Winter, killer album. Heartbreak Station. Songs I recommend are Shake Me, Nobody's Fool, Gypsy Road, Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. I think their biggest charting song.
Yeah, it's a big ballad. Yeah.
Yep. and The More Things Change and Shelter Me. So, again, it's a great band. I seen, didn't get to see Cinderella, but years ago, Toledo Harley Davidson, let's see with the wife, Tom Kiefer of Cinderella. Mm-hmm. It was his wife on stage doing his solo band, and he did all the hits and he did it. Sounded phenomenal. It was a lot of fun. Great. Matter of fact, I think he's playing this year at Ohio Bike Week downtown for a block party. So I go see him again. No problem. I mean, he just still has the voice. He still brings it. And yeah, respect. There's a lot of fun in those songs to be had. So mm-hmm. It's a little nostalgic. But I like quite a lot of Cinderella around us, especially those first two albums, Night Songs and Long Cold Winter. But yeah, that's my number five.
All right. My number six is a band that I haven't listened to for quite a long time. But I like their first couple albums. I think it's really all I'm focusing on. Yeah. A band called Rat.
They might be on my list.
They might. Yes. I figure we might have some crossovers. Uh-huh. Yeah, their first couple albums, Wanted Man, Round and Round, which was a huge hit for them. It was like all over rotation. Like everybody playing Round and Round. It was on the radio, you know, 50 times a day. The video was in heavy rotation. So you get to kind of see what they look like, you know. Very pretty and all the glam. Back for More, Lay It Down, which I really love that riff, that opening riff.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
really
God.
Nice. Yeah. And then You're in Love, which is a really interesting chord that I can't, it's like a chord with a sour note or like
yeah, yeah.
Like, what is that? But
yeah, it's a little discordant, but it fits right well with the rest of the
notes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I just like that progression. And this is, again, I picked out bands that I remember listening to, and I really liked these first couple albums, especially when I first got the first Rat album. I listened to that over and over again. I was like, yeah, this is a really good album.
So, right.
And my number five, this is, I think it was also on when we did our top 10 vocalists, I believe. This was on Dreadbolt's list. This is David Lee Roth. He definitely had some big hair and big hair guys playing with him. And Yankee Rose is such a great song, just a driving song. Shy Boy, which is a really kind of a ripper. Ladies Night in Buffalo is kind of sultry and sexy. Going Crazy is just a really fun video, just a goofy. Yeah. Tobacco Road has that really great sound of swing, old timey, kind of got that rip. And then Slam Dunk off the DLR band. Which is like, that's like the heaviest of Van Halen you could get with a double bass, you know, it was like kicking in. So yeah, I mean, really entertaining. I his voice has not aged well.
Right.
But you know, hey, the guy's like 70, you know, so yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to fault that dude. If I was even trying to do that at this age, I wouldn't cut it. So.
Yeah. But, I would, I had those first three Roth albums on a cassette in a day. I even like Skyscraper quite a bit, the second one. And then I think it was a little Ain't Enough. And then later it was a DLR band. But
yeah.
But yeah, those solo releases are a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of
Eat Him and Smile is a great album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that song by Shy Boy is actually Billy Sheehan and the bass player's old band Talis. It's a cover of Talis song. So.
Oh, okay. Really? Oh, it's a phenomenal song. Yeah.
Yeah. Great song.
Yeah. And he was a great, I mean, what a band to pick. Yeah, Greg Bissonette on drums, Billy Sheehan. On bass, and who's the phenomenal
Steve
guitarist?
Vai.
Steve Vai on guitar. Jesus. It's like a dream band, you know. Yeah, just a lot of fun.
Hell yeah, man! Good choice. So my number
I think,
four.
You know,
is
sorry, three. One just one last thing.
Oh,
you know, I think Roth. It might be like Roth and like bands like Def Leppard, and they might be like the last of those party bands. You know, like the 80s party bands, because that era has kind of died off. Like rock stars these days, you don't really hear about debauchery unless it's like some old timey rock star or something like that. It's just those stories aren't there, like the open debauchery like there was in the 80s. And you know, like I remember on MTV was doing a prize or win a weekend with Van Halen, like a lost weekend.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus, fuck, this guy's going to be dead of alcohol poisoning. You know?
Exactly.
It's like, they're going to kill him. I'm like, God, I kind of want to sign up for it.
You know? Well, here's my old videos of some of the bands. Like, I know a classic, it might be I Won't Forget You by Poison Row, because it was in the, like, top 10 daily or something. And one of the players, I think it was a bass player, he's fucking so fucked up. He's passing out on the stage. They had roadies come pick him up. All those kinds of things you see.
It was a hard era. And just not that it doesn't happen. I mean, it probably maybe does. I don't know. But it doesn't seem to be the focus. Like, our zeitgeist has changed to where that's not really that big of a deal. We don't like that behavior. We're not going to reward that kind of behavior, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Good choice, man. All right. My number four is Motley Crue. Formed in 81. Album highlights, Shout at the Devil, Theater Pain, Dr. Feelgood. Songs recommended, Shout at the Devil, Looks at Kill, Louder Than Hell, Home Sweet Home, Dr. Feelgood, Kickstart My Heart. This is a band, I think, that they hit their peak on Dr. Feelgood. That was their Black album. That right there had so many hits. Produced by Bob Rock, ironically, too, with that, you know, the whole Metallica connection.
Great sounding album. The engineering, the sound of the album is really good. They got some really good sounding albums.
Yeah.
Shout at the Devil, same way, you know.
And I know that, you know, Theater Pain comes out with all the fire. That's probably where you've seen a lot more of the glam look come out with the scarves and more of the makeup and stuff like that. But man, there's some hitters on there. Louder Than Hell and City Boy Blues and
Save Our Pretty Soul. Pretty Boys getting laid. That's what they were doing. So, you know.
Of course, you know, what made it, the hit off that was the big hit, Home Sweet Home. But then it was for that cover of Brownsville Station, Smoking in the Boys Room.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the one. And a goofy, you know, it's a goofy video, but it fit with the times. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew Crue already. They blew up with Shout at the Devil, started to really get going, and it just carried that momentum on. But I'd have to say, you know, they haven't done really a really good thing since Dr. Feelgood. That's it, man. And they're still touring. Like, and it's like, Vince can't sing no more. We know that. It's just, and I really, really, really like the self-titled Motley Crue album with a different singer.
John Corabi?
Yep.
Yeah.
My God, I like that's it too. A heavy fucking album.
Yeah. Hooligan's Holiday. It's like the band got
Poison Apples and everything.
Yeah. It's like
Uncle Jack. Oh, this, I'm like, damn. Like,
this, the... They've grown up.
Yeah.
They've grown up to not be a party band. We're not, you know, like, oh, maybe we're going to head into a different direction here. It didn't last very long.
No, and then they come back with when Vince returns, A Generation of Swine, which is just fucking piece of shit all the way around. Well, because they did techno stuff and electronica, and it's just like
they were trying new things. It just wasn't. Those are things they should have done maybe as solo projects and not Motley Crue projects, because you've already got a brand that's been established, and this is a sound. And when you violate it that completely, it can really be jarring.
I sold that album immediately. Let's put it that way. I listened, I was like, done. One and done.
So, one and done for Chop.
That's right. Not my fucking collection, buddy.
You know, I had this idea for a show. It was about, we were going to do called The Purge, like the 5 or 10 bands you'd purge from existence. I think we should do that with albums. That would be a lot more fun. We could do it. We'll do one with albums too.
Oh, I like, okay.
Like that one would be yours.
We'll do bands and albums.
That one. Yes, because that way you can get rid of that Motley Crue album. It doesn't exist anymore.
I need to get that emotional.
I can sleep at night now.
I'll be a little emotional during that one, brother.
Oh,
there's a couple I could throw on the fucking burn pile for sure.
I know. It'll be a fun show. It'll be a great show. What do you think? Yeah.
Agreed. Yep,
okay, good, on. Good, good. Well, all right, coming up, kids, we got two more episodes like that coming up. I got the pot to swing it.
My number three choice is one of your other choices earlier, Rat, formed in 73. But they changed their name to Rat in 77. It was Mickey Rat, like 76, and they finally shortened down to Rat finally in 77. The origins really started in 73 with Stephen Piercy, the singer. But the album highlights Out of the Cellar, the Stellar. I had that rhyme, Out of the Cellar, Stellar. But anyways, Invasion of Your Privacy, Reach for the Sky, too. I really wasn't. Was it that third one, Dancing Undercover? Dance, and Body Talk.
No, it's terrible.
To me, I was expecting more after Invasion, because Invasion of Your Privacy is my favorite Rat album.
Mm-hmm. The first two albums sound almost identical, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It's like we haven't changed anything at all. The same six chords.
I think the same producer, Bo Hill, was on that as well.
It was like they rushed into the second one because it feels like those were songs that could have gone on the first one too. As far even like the sound of the album, it's like almost identical. You know.
Yeah, there's such great fucking playing though by Warren Demartini on both those stellar guitar work, but. You know, recommended songs Round and Round, you said, which I think might be the prototypical hair metal. That might have really ushered in, because that was 1984, the whole hair metal generation, because that exploded.
Oh, it's huge.
I mean, I remember I was in Sandusky here at my grandparents. It was a record store. It was just a few blocks down. And I was there just looking at it. And I think I got my grandmother, oh, Grandma, this band, I really want to try this cassette I'd like to get. Is it by Rat? Now, who's that Rat? I was like, no, it's a band that I listen to, or something like that, or they're new. And I said, can I get, you know, borrow this money? I think she gave me the money for a cassette. Well, I got it back to my grandma's immediately on her porch. I'm listening to it. I'm like, holy fuck. As soon as like Juan and Man and shit kicked in, and then you get to Round and Round, the big hit. And you're like, yeah. So I was kind of a fan right from that moment. But the songs, you know, Round and Round.
I want to hear more of that little teenage chop top voice. Hey, Grandma, can I have this?
You know, I might have been breaching. It might have been breaking. Like, hey, Granny, can I? I'm sorry, sir. We can't let you in a theater. Well, The Simpsons. Be that one, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Lack of Communication, I thought, was underrated monster song by them.
Yeah.
You're in Love, we talked about Lay It Down. Way Cool Junior and I Want a Woman was a big win. Even though that, you know, they were getting towards the end of the career, that one only went platinum. The other ones, I think, went multi-platinum. Well, no, the third one went platinum as well. And then the fifth one didn't do shit, I think, and they were dropped from Atlantic, and it broke away. But
yeah, because they just didn't evolve at all. And I think, well, the people's tastes had changed, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But man, it's just some great playing. I mean, Warren Demartini, I mean, he still fucking can rock today, you know.
Yeah, we'd love to have him on the show, Mr. Yeah. Demartini. If you'd like to come on the show, we'd love to have you.
Yeah. And it's funny because the bass player for Rat was Juan Croucier, who he came over from Dokken. He was part of the lineup from the Breaking Chains or debut album. So we'll get to that band later, too.
But, okay, well, you're spoiling it. Spoiler alert, Dokken's going to be in number one or two.
Well, that was my 4 and 3, buddy. I'm not going to go ahead. I'm not spilling
you
everything.
You just did. That band might be coming up. We got two left.
Fuck it, I'm done.
Finally, my own show. my number four is a band that you had mentioned. For me, it's Def Leppard. So yeah, just because I remember them being so big and powerful and loving that kind of hard rock sound and how catchy it was, you know, Foolin', great heavy riffs, Foolin'. I mean, it's really catchy. Bringing on the Heartbreak, Rock of Ages, and Women, and even Hysteria. It's the song is the album is not good, but that song was huge for them.
Yeah.
By that time, I just did not like the direction they were going into. But to be honest, I mean, part of that was because of Rick Allen. They incorporated electric drums, but they kept them in that heavier kind of synth sound, you know.
Yeah.
And those had those triggers and things like that. So that's not a problem. But that was a sound that was catchy, you know. It was catchy.
And a lot of bands were using that, you know, synth sounds too, guitar synths, everything.
Yeah.
Judas Priest, for example, we could say that.
Yeah, it was the sound of the time. But I remember, I still am haunted by Pour Your Some Sugar on Me. I'm just haunted by that from hearing it so many times in the late 80s. Okay, my number three is one you've also mentioned as well. My number three is Motley Crue.
Nice.
I really like the band. The first three albums, I think, are phenomenal. And I mean, of course, like with most everybody who wasn't a fan before them, I didn't know Too Fast for Love, but I heard Looks That Kill. I saw the video, the one I caught my dad watching. Oh, yeah, I like that band, Motley Crue. I like that name. But love you, Dad. But yeah, Live Wire, Too Fast for Love, Shout the Devil, Looks That Kill, Bastard. I love their cover of Helter Skelter.
Me too.
It's like, oh fuck, that is so good. Really? You know, I don't like covers generally, but this one was like, oh, that's fantastic. And I love Red Hot and Too Young to Fall in Love, 10 Seconds of Love, Louder Than, I mean, the whole album. I love Danger. Danger's like a kind of spooky vibe to it. That whole album, Shot with the Devil, is a banger, just top to bottom. Yeah, Home Sweet Home, Tonight, We Need a Lover, Dr. Feelgood, Kickstart My Heart, you know, Girls, Girls, Girls has a great sound. The album sounds really, really good. Not crazy about the album, but it's got some good tracks, but you know, not that good. But so yeah, number three, Motley Crue.
Awesome. Well, number two, I kind of cheated a little bit because I had a hard decision on my number two, but I put a tie between Dokken and Whitesnake. Now let me think. So
you cheated.
Both were very important bands to me.
I know. It's they're hard to do a top 10 anything. I'm special. I get 11.
No, oh my, get in the ass.
Okay, so we got a tie. All right.
Yeah, both bands were formed in 78. I'd say the Dokken album highlights Tooth and Nail, Under Lock and Key, Back for the Attack. Whitesnake album highlights Slide It In, the 87 album, self-titled, and Slip of the Tongue. Recommended Dokken songs, Into the Fire, Alone Again, Unchain the Night, In My Dreams, Kiss of Death, Heaven Sent. Recommended Whitesnake, Slide It In, Love Ain't No Stranger, Still of the Night, Give Me All Your Love, Slip of the Tongue, and Now You're Gone. So very important bands. I had a little trouble with both these, and let me explain. Dokken, I always thought, were a little bit of cut above their peers. I think when I mean musically talented, Don Dokken had such a powerful, strong range and huge voice back then. Plus, George Lynch's guitar playing, that was metal. It was more metal sounding than I thought the prototypical party hardy, you know, hair metal stylings and stuff with the peers were going on at the time. Whitesnake started out as a blues kind of funk bass band also, who later really didn't, you know, they got America's attention when Slide It In was released with Love Ain't No Stranger and Slide It In and All or Nothing.
And then by the time Still the Night hit, that was the song that broke them. That was the one. That blew them up.
What's interesting about that album too is John Sykes, who played with them Slide It In album, he did all the guitar recordings on and the writing for guitar parts on the 87 album. But then there was a falling out, him and David Coverdale, and that was the end of that. I don't think they ever spoke again after whatever happened between them. But what a phenomenal fucking guitar player Sykes was. And he can rest in peace, too. He passed a few years ago with cancer. But he, you know, to me, that was, if, and I think the record company, they were still probably looking for the next big hit because, okay, we caught fire a little bit with Slide It In. Okay, now this is the era. It was Geffen Records at the time. They're on a major label. So I think they pressured them in saying, we need a whole new lineup, David. We need this. And so that's when he assembled the super Adrian Vandenberg and Tommy Aldridge and Rudy Sarzo, you know, and all, you know, just these masterclass musicians. And, Vivian Campbell was also part of Whitesnake in that.
Right? Yeah.
So, and then he went on and he did this, you know, had Vivian Campbell. It wasn't Vivian Campbell. Steve Vai replaced him for Slip of the Tongue album and was with Adrian Vandenberg on that tour too as well. So I think it was just that, but I had trouble with these because it's like based on their beginnings, based on where they come from, and somehow they set themselves for a minute apart from the peers. They both fell into like the Under Lock and Key album. That's total glam metal. I mean, their hair is out to here on it, but the songs itself don't reflect the rest of what their peers were doing at that time. So that's why I made it such an interesting, I really struggle with these two in my head. Cause I'm like, considering their beginnings, consider some album covers, maybe some of the lineup changes and what maybe record label pressures did. I don't think they kind of fit the mold of the total. You'd say, oh, that's total Hairspray metal. That's what they were.
Yeah.
Cause I think there's some heavy hitter players in there and they had some different qualities in the music that set them above the peers at that time. So.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah. So that was my number two.
That was my tie for two. Right. Okay.
That's right.
And now your number one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with this, a band I still love today. I don't care. They are LA Guns. They formed in 83. I got anything with Tracy Guns and Phil Lewis on it, that's LA Guns to me. You take those, any of those away from that, that's not LA Guns. And they did some albums with that, and I don't have them. But album highlights, I mean, Their self-titled debut, L.A. Guns, Cocked and Loaded, Hollywood Vampires. Songs I'd recommend, Sex Action, Electric Gypsy, that fucking riff by Tracy Guns is fantastic. Never Enough was a big hit. Ballad of Jane, I argue it would be the biggest hit they had, the ballad. Over the Edge and Some Life or Love. This band I remember, I discovered the records. I was with my brother-in-law and my sister, my oldest sister, and we were at the mall near Toledo. And there's a record store there. And I saw this album cover in L.A. Guns. It was two guns up the side, a shield with a skull in the middle. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. I wonder what this, you know, it's about. Obviously a heavy hit now. So I had it on cassette at the time. And I got it brought back to the house. And I was just hooked right then and there. I was like, hell yeah. Because interesting enough, Tracy Guns was with Guns N' Roses, the original incarnation, before they got slashed. He switched over and formed LA Guns with Phil Lewis then. So then you had the two factions. Of course, GNR took off and they blew them out of the water as far as popularity and everything else. I mean, yeah, it has some gold and platinum luck LA Guns did, but nothing on the extent of GNR. But I mean, my God, Phil Lewis is in his fucking 70s and he sounds like he did back on the debut. He sounds fantastic. And I got to see LA Guns. They were in a different incarnation at the time, but they tried to go for an American hardcore album. They had a different singer. It was downtown here in Sandusky. And they were trying to go for a different, like, at that time, it was in the 90s for that grunge meets heavy, like Pantera side. I'm like, this is not LA Guns. This is not good. And, but then they got back, they reunited with Phil Lewis and got back to their own song on the album, Missing Piece, and on Frontiers Records now. And they haven't looked back. And yeah, I'm a big fan. So, LA Guns is number one for me.
All right. Nice. Okay. Well, my number two is one of the biggest big hair bands of the 80s. Very, very catchy. I was not a fan of them. Still not a fan, but I can appreciate some of their songs. And the lead singer seems to be a pretty decent human being. This is Bon Jovi.
Huh?
Huge. Huge band.
Huge.
I know the very first band I was in, the Escape Pedal, or no, the J.O. Dregs. Or no, was it the Pigs? No, was it Dregs? I don't know. One of those two. I forget. Yes. We included one of Dead or Alive as part of a medley of songs okay. We were doing. Because we also did the I was playing guitar and I did the theme song to Bonanza. Which then led right into one of Dead or Alive.
Oh, that's so brilliant. Yeah.
I thought that's fun. But yeah, You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer, One of Dead or Alive, Bad Medicine, Born to Be My Baby. These are all really big songs. Yeah. And that Slippery When It Wet album sold like 50 bajillion copies.
You know? Exploded.
Yeah, it's huge. And like the one after that sold a lot. So, and I know there's
New
been
Jersey,
some.
New Jersey was the one after that too. Yeah.
And then there's been, I know there's some of the members split away. There's been some bad blood, you know. I don't know. I don't get involved. I don't care. But John Bon Jovi does good in by setting up like kitchens and places where people can come get food. And if you don't have money, you don't have to pay. You know. And
absolutely.
So he does good. So I figured he's doing well by doing good. So
excellent.
So number two, Bon Jovi, and my number one big hair band. I know it's not. I mean, you might disagree with me on this, but you see the pictures, you know what I'm talking about. Because you can suck me, eat me raw. This is harder, faster. My number one.
I had a hard one. I don't know what you want to say about him, but I'll tell you what I felt about this because yeah, I didn't include him for a reason.
Right. I mean, they are really heavy and hard rock. That's the thing. They're way, way heavier than any other band on the list. And raunchy, but they still fit other qualities. I mean, there are qualities of Blackie with his big hair and the makeup and the spandex. You know, they had the trappings of that kind of like libido driven teenage boys. You know, we're going to go out and put that in our music and let's just not make the subtlety of Love Gun. No. That's way too subtle for our fan base. They won't figure out that the gun is his dick. You know, just watch Role Models. I mean Animal, I Want to Be Somebody, Love Machine, On Your Knees. Look, I mean, Sleeping in the Fire, Wild Child, Blind in Texas, Harder, Faster, Mean Man, Kill, Fuck, Die, Kill Ahead, which I really love, and the horror. I love that era of Wasp as well. And their sound really changes about the time of Headless Children. But I really like where they go in that direction. So there's my number one, Wasp.
All right. Well, here's my argument against including them. Well, I didn't include them. I thought that they were closer to the edge of true heavy metal as opposed to their peers at that time. Yes, I thought the one album that really stuck out to me is, you might say, their hair metal was Inside the Electric Circus. They really went for my, the lyrics weren't as strong on there. A little more light in the pants.
Blind in Texas.
You know, but I thought Inside the Electric Circus, you know, because it had I Don't Need No Doctor on it, that cover. And then it had the title track, 95 Nasty. I thought it was a little soft. Shoot from the Hip. I thought, oh, there's a classic hair metal, sex it up kind of.
I know, every song. Yeah.
But I mean, they're early, those first two albums, I thought were pretty more in a realm of the heavy. I mean, you look at songs like Widowmaker.
Yeah.
It's heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
Ball Crusher and Dark kind of thing. Fistful of Diamonds. It was almost like sticking the middle finger up to the rest of it. But they were almost like a caricature of that time period itself as well. There's an irony attached to Wasp. But I really think that I didn't include them because I just thought they were heavier. And they matured after Inside the Electric Circus even more. Headless Children's a very more politically drug-themed, socio-political kind of album with some lyrical content.
Yeah.
And then you go into Crimson Idol, which is an epic concept album.
Yeah.
Those first five, you can argue that's probably the best in Wasp's catalog. But
yeah, it's like a different, they really go in that different direction. And I like the direction they go into.
Yeah.
I know the band doesn't meet the same hair band qualities as like YNT or, you know, stuff like those other bands, but I just didn't know them as well. I mean, I know Dreadbull used to listen to all those bands and Blue Murder, and you know, he had those bands, and I've listened to those albums, but I wouldn't know a Blue Murder song if you throw it at me, you know.
Right.
But Wasp, kind of like Motley Crue, you know, Wasp is a less artful Motley Crue. They both kind of fit and overlap. It's garish, it's over the top, it's supposed to be titillating, you know, rebellious.
Here's my question, because I see, you know, doing research on this and kind of looking, because I was looking up for like, God, to remember all the bands from that era too.
Yeah, you know, I had to do a search, like give me the hot top 100 hair metal or glam metal bands at the time, and then going through, like, I know of the band, but I not enough to, and I'm gonna put them on a list.
Do you think that Kiss should have been stacked into hair metal bands? I think they had a hair metal era. I think you could say that. Crazy Nights.
They did that.
They did get glam,
but it's not the only thing they're identified with.
Right. You know? So I didn't include them because of that reason.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah, I had to you know, since I put Kiss on the last list. No, I had to look at the band. I looked at like one list. Here's 100 bands, and like Crocus, I didn't even think about, like, because I had forgotten, like, Crocus is this band. Like, Crocus, okay.
And then I seen in the list some of them too had Sabotage in there. Sabotage in the hair. I'm like, no.
Well, I mean, they did have big hair. I mean, literally big hair. You see some of their songs, then they got a lot of hair. Maybe that's all it is for some of these lists. I don't know.
Look at it, yeah.
Because like, otherwise, I should have put Warrant on here. But again, I only knew like two Warrant songs.
Yeah.
Like, Cherry Pie. I get it. That's double entendre.
Down Boys, go.
And Down Boys, that's it. That's all I know. It's like, okay, I know you were popular, but I not enough for me to put on a list, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I went with like Nitro's my first one. It's like, okay, well, at least I know that was really big fucking hair, you know.
Yeah, it's just interesting because you see, you know, some of the different, I'm just like, and like some bands, you put, they see Tesla in there. I'm like, Tesla isn't big hair. Tesla's, again, even from their debut, that's not hair metal.
Well, it came out in the same era.
Blueface guitar. It
came out in the same era. So that's also part of it, too. Like, there's an era
the era.
Right. Yeah.
I think those factors play in a lot of people's lists where I'm looking at the music.
More. Yeah. I tried to do all, because everyone, you know, there were a lot of bands that went through the glam phase. And, you know, I mean, Kiss, I mean, I remember going to your house and watching the Kiss Animalize concert and just laughing our asses off while Paul's yucking it up for the camera, you know, and Gene with that ridiculous headband, you know, trying to wear spandex. Like, no, man, leopard print does not go well with you,
Heaven's
dude.
on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, and just so all terrible. But Paul
Oh my
Stanley is
God.
a good dancer, you know, so. Oh, anyway, all that. This was a
Gratitude.
fun list. This was really fun.
Great time. Great
Yeah.
time. That'll last.
You know, you had mentioned, you know, how much you love George Lynch, and now we have an episode coming up where we're going to talk about our top 10 guitarists, and
Ooh,
I
he might be in there.
believe might be there for you. And I believe we have a former guest going to be joining us for that, and maybe one more. I'm going to see
Excellent.
if I can wrangle her in to talk about our top 10 bassists as
Okay.
well. Yes, and I'm going to ask Mark Jackson if he'd like to join us for the top 10 drummers.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool as
Or
hell.
maybe Michel Langevin from Boyvat.
Oh yeah. Oh, that would be
You
great.
know.
Sweet that he'd come on again.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that would be awesome. Yeah, I know I definitely Mark Jackson when we do our The Power of Dave Lombardo Compels You. You know. Yes. It's a slugfest where we are going to cover what two albums are we doing? Oh yeah, the Gathering versus the Power of Inner Strength.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
going to be
Yeah, yes. So lots
interesting.
of good stuff coming up, kiddies. Any last words, Chop?
No, man, just get out there and explore some more hair metal. Yeah, no.
That's
He's like,
right.
no, I'm not going
Yes.
to. I'm
No, I'm
going
good. I'm
to
good.
take a nap. I'm glad I could get this episode set for us.
And never any more hair metal again. No,
No.
it's all good. No, I do. I get the nostalgia thing. You know, I really do.
Yeah.
And I think I might appreciate some of these bands now. Like I can listen to Molly or Bon Jovi or those first couple of Def Leppard albums. I'm like, those are good albums. You know, I mean, but you know, more Bon Jovi or Cinderella. It's like I know of them, but I wasn't like a fan. You know,
Yeah.
so it just again it was what was out. It was what was available. It was, you know, metal was really gravitated toward that. So that was all we got exposure to at the time. You know, where was the whole underground scene on the West Coast? That's where the Slayer came from. And that's where you have Motley Crue coming from. And, then we got assaulted, thankfully, by the new brave, you know, brave British, new wave of British heavy metal. And I'm like, oh, now we can, now here's some real
Well,
music, you
it
know?
was interesting making up this or ideas about this list and telling a friend of mine, and they said, "Well, didn't all the bands get along back then?" I go, "Oh no."
No.
I go, "It was when the thrash metal scene came out, they fucking hated the hair metal scene. And they were trying to outplay or get more gigs at the, venues in LA and Hollywood and all these other places than the hair metal band. So it was a constant clash against those factions, these two types of genres going against each other." I think later they're more appreciative and thankful. They really, it was just a sign of the times, maybe the ages as well, and what was
Yeah.
going on. You had these competing musical genres
Right.
that just were like, no, we're taking over the world hair metal like this. And thrash say, well, fuck you, we're coming from underground and below, and we're giving you the middle finger and destroying it.
Yeah,
Right. So I think,
right. I
it was
think
just
now they're
interesting
probably like,
commentary.
you could probably see Overkill and Warrant, they'll be on the same bill and they would get along because they're just, you know, they realize they're all older. It's like, look, we all know each other. We're just guys who have been fortunate enough to make a living to some degree by playing music. You know, what better, what, you
Well,
know?
apparently, I think you remember that classic video. I think it was "Nothing Else Matters" if you saw it by Metallica, and they're throwing darts at the Kip Winger poster in it or something in the studio.
Okay.
I think later on in years, they actually did meet up with Kip. They apologized, basically, and say, "Hey, man, it's just the time, the sign. Nothing meant serious." Everybody was happy, and I think it was just that kind of thing. But you
Right.
got to remember, maybe the media wanted to try to fuel that too a little bit.
Yeah,
Everything
but
that's
yeah,
going on.
the competition, and I remember laughing like when we were watching. It was on MTV. There was a folk talking about Iron Maiden because that's when I was really, you know, Dreadbull and I were really huge in Iron Maiden,
Oh
and they were talking about like what they were doing. It was on the World's Slavery Tour or just maybe between tours because that was a killer of a tour. But they were showing them playing soccer, and they were playing against the the band, well, what fucking, oh, White Tiger or something like that. It was a British band. Don't forget me when
Oh,
I'm gone.
yeah, look
Or,
at it. Yeah.
and yeah, and they were playing soccer against them. And apparently, like one of the band members or maybe the singer, like got his leg broken. And I just thought that was really funny because I was a victim of that. Like, oh, dumb White Tiger, you know, that's this is real music,
Yeah.
You know, as when you're
I guess,
16 or 17 and you're going to be stupid.
yeah, I guess just another note on that, and I'll leave it at this is Queensryche was one I seen on there, and some people, I'm just like, no, they were a progressive metal band when they first
Yeah.
started out. And as they went on to some sound that was totally different. But when they got Todd LaTorre back, especially this last album, oh my God, DNA, Digital Noise Alliance, which was, but not that's going back to the classic Reich sound. I mean, plus Human Condition, we talked about some of those other
Yeah.
releases with Todd LaTorre
They were
before.
hit and miss. I don't know if I've heard this last album. Maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah, Digital Noise Alliance, DNA. Do yourself a favor and check. That's the closest thing to classic progressive Queensryche metal I've heard in this new era. So, but
Okay.
yeah, I just think that they were, again, another
Excuse me.
band put roughly in that time period. And my, that maybe the videos and all that, but even the videos, other than Rage for Order, the hair was way out of control on that one. But the songs didn't match the style either.
Right. It was a look
So,
because music had become visual. And that's what it was because of music videos. So the look became important. Just like the very first Guns N' Roses video, you know, Welcome to the Jungle. You see Axl Rose getting off the bus and it's like Marsha Brady. It's like his
it's
hair is
all over you.
huge. And then you see him when he's singing, it's just down. From what I understand, they like had to tease it. Like that was a demand of whoever was making the video or the record company. No, we got to tease it. We, you know, because
Okay.
his normal hair wasn't like that because he never did it after that. Because
No,
the
it
album
was just
sold
that
so many
video.
copies, he's like, well, fuck, I'm not going to ever do what you tell me again, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, they have one good album, Guns N' Roses. But I just, after that, I just don't listen to the band anymore. And I don't really look at them either as they're more like Aerosmith, you know, in
Yeah.
that kind of vein, that hard rock kind of gritty, you know? But not hair metal, but
Exactly, brother.
oh yeah, this is fun. This was a great time.
Lot of fun. Very insightful.
Yeah. So, all right, we're gonna get out of here, man.
Right, brother.
You can find Heavy Metal Horror on unsaneradio.com. Listen to full episodes or download to your device. You can find us on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. On Instagram, look for Montag Lewis, one word. Our YouTube page, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. If you're watching, that's where you're at. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you know someone who would like our show, tell them about us. This has been Montag, Master of Illusion.
And Chop Top.
And you've been watching and listening to Heavy Metal Horror.
This is Doug Helbring, and you have been listening to Heavy Metal Horror, the best podcast that you've never heard before.